to announce for the past 6 to 8 months, I think, Russia has been leading a unity breakfast, a prayer breakfast for women. And so what she wanted to do this time around in December is to be able to have everybody be able to come to this. We'll hold this here at our church on December 5th from 9 until 11:30. But this was staring at me right in the face, and I forgot to mention that this morning. The title this morning for my message is Obedience When It's Painful and Not Just Joyful. It's one thing to follow our Father's will when it's pleasurable. It's quite another to follow His will when it's painful. And how are we doing when we find that to be true? So we'll be in Mark chapter 15, but I first want to share with you a story that comes out of Acts 20, where Paul, this is at the tail end of his last missionary journey, and as he is coming through and he's focused on going to Jerusalem, he wants to bring together the Ephesian elders, and he has one last message for them. And what he says here highlights his willingness to obey God's leading in his life, even if it meant pain and hardship. So in Acts 20, Paul addresses the Ephesian elders, and he says in verse 18, he says, "You know how I lived with you the whole time that I was with you, from the first day that I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." I want you to think about that for a moment. We have one instance where someone stands up and they prophetically say this. They tell Paul that this is what's going to happen if he continues on this journey. And you would think that if you received that kind of a warning, you would go, "Oh, I don't want to go to Jerusalem." But he is so focused on what he has to do, on doing his Father's will and on obeying his Father's will, even in the midst of pain and hardship. And I love what he says next. He says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. My own personal goal for this series was for us to fix our eyes on Jesus, just to get a glimpse of him. We weren't going to be able to dive into that book fully. I hope that you did in your own private times. But what I wanted to do is fix our eyes on Jesus, especially as we head into the Christmas season. I wanted us to see his life and his ministry and his pinpoint focus on following his Father's will for his life. His Father's will for his life included dying for us, included being betrayed, included being beaten, included torture, included trials and tests and tribulation. And sometimes obedience to God brings pain. It's not always pleasurable. And I'm sure if I saw a show of hands, I would get most of you saying, "Yeah, I know that to be true." So as we enter into Advent, I didn't want us to forget why Jesus was born. That Jesus was born to die for us. I'll be referring to Mark chapter 15 in a moment, but I want to take us back to something that Jesus prayed while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark chapter 14. They went to this place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. If at any point in your life you have ever been deeply distressed and troubled, you're in good company. Our Savior was deeply distressed and troubled. Jesus said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch. Family, if your soul, if deep down within your heart, you've been overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death, you're in good company. This is where our Savior was. In obedience to his Father's will meant Jesus going through overwhelming sorrow. He would be in so much inward turmoil that his skin would hemorrhage blood. I mean, he was to the point of being in such turmoil and emotional pain inside that he began to sweat blood. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour may pass from him. And he prayed, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Not my will be done, but your will be done. And I don't know about you, but too many times I've made this prayer about prayer. You might think, well, it is about prayer. Isn't it about our attitude in prayer? Sometimes doing God's will does not bring pleasure in the moment. And so when Jesus is praying, it's more about him discerning his Father's will than necessarily praying to discern or to have his will be done. So I tend to make this prayer about prayer, but this is so much more about obedience to our Father's will than it is for him doing my will. Prayer may simply be a process for us to discern our Father's will. Prayer is so much more about us discerning his will than about God doing our will. Let me repeat that. Prayer is so much more about us discerning his will than God doing our will. And sometimes doing God's will does not bring pleasure in the moment. It may mean pain, it could mean hardship, and it could even mean death. Take this cup from me. Let there be another way to redeem mankind. But if there is no other way, if this is your will, then this is what I want. I don't want anything else. I don't want anyone else. Even if pain is involved, even when there is disappointment. See, there are times when obedience is joyful, but there can be times when obedience is painful. So if you remember the story here in Mark, Jesus, his betrayer, comes, kisses him, and Jesus is arrested. He is taken to an illegal meeting of the Sanhedrin at night, and people were brought in to testify about him, and none of the testimonies match. And later in chapter 14, Peter disowns Jesus just as Jesus said he would. And Peter took the easy way out. It was easy to obey him when it was pleasurable, but very difficult to obey Jesus when there was a risk of pain, torture, death. But I praise God for what did Jesus do? He restored Peter. Any of us, we've been there before. We've been there, done that. You know, we've obeyed him when it's pleasurable or when it brings joy, but when it's painful, when it's difficult, and we fall, Jesus himself comes and restores us. Forgiveness can be painful. Love can seem illogical. Holding your tongue can seem impossible. Rebuking a brother or sister can feel uncomfortable. Serving others can feel taxing. Abstinence can feel unbearable. Sobriety can feel impossible. Self-discipline can be painful. Sharing your faith can be uncomfortable. Leaving behind friends and family because of a newfound faith in Jesus Christ can be excruciating. Obeying God can be painful. Case in point, Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 16. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe, put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to be crucified. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. When they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, he did not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and teachers of the law mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross. That way we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. And at the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" If you've ever been in a place where you feel like you've been forsaken, you're in good company. Obeying God is not always easy. It's not always welcomed by those around us. Some people may not understand our faith and our love for Jesus Christ. You may even be hated by someone or a group of people. And yet these are part of those precious promises that we've been given. Earlier in Mark, Jesus tells his disciples in Mark 10, "Truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Paul wrote his young protege Timothy in his second letter to him in chapter 3, and he said, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." There are times when following your Father's will bring joy. There are also times when following your Father's voice will mean pain. How do we come to follow him in those times when we need the motivation to get through that time of pain? What do we need to do, even in the midst of suffering, to follow our Father's voice and to obey him? One thing, keep our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him," check that, "for the joy set before him, he endured the cross." See, he didn't have his eyes on what was going on in his life right then, right now. He had his eyes on the joy set before him. He had fixed his eyes on that. "So for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners." He's challenging us. Consider Jesus. Look at him. Keep your eyes on him. "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose hearts." Keep your eyes on Jesus so that you do not grow weary or lose heart. The next verses 4 through 11. I'm not going to read them all, but he would go in and say, you know, in your struggle against sin, you have not struggled to the point of shedding your blood. He would say a little bit later, endure hardship as discipline. And he would say in verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Check that out. Somehow, some way, the pain that we go through, the suffering that we go through, actually trains us. It's not just the good times that trains us. It's also the difficult times. So family, keep your eyes on Jesus. If obedience to him brings you immediate joy, thank him. If obedience to him brings pain, hold on to him. Our natural human tendency is to give up and quit, which is why when I learned that night when my dad was diagnosed with leukemia, I just so happened to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 to read these words fresh off of learning this news. Paul says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. Paul saw the things that he was going through. He was so excited that there were people who were coming to faith in Jesus Christ that it didn't mean, if he was going through pain, if he was going through suffering, it's like, all right, that doesn't matter. What matters is that people are being transformed by a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit, and as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed day by day by day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. It might not feel like it when you're in the midst of them, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Friends, when we are in glory, we'll probably look back on these times and go, what was I complaining about? It will just seem like that. Time will just seem like it goes in an instant. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. When obedience brings joy, and when it's pleasant, thank him. When obedience is difficult, hold on to him. Fix your eyes on Jesus and keep your eyes focused squarely on Jesus. Father, I want to thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. He endured the cross, he endured the beatings, he endured the betrayal for us so that our sins could be paid for. And Father, if anyone in this house of worship have not submitted their lives to you, I pray that they would do that this morning. I pray that today would be the day of salvation. I pray that they would say, yes, I want a relationship with you. Yes, I want a brand new start. Yes, I want to have my sins cleansed. Father, in this life, your son promised that we will have trials. But then he said, take heart, for I have overcome the world. Father, I pray that we as individuals, as couples, as families, and as a faith family will continue to fix our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name, all of God's kids said, amen. I'm hoping